You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Climate deniers are really in some ways similar to all of those almost 400 law enforcement officers in Uvalde, Texas, who were waiting outside an unlocked door while the children were being massacred. They heard the screams, they heard the gunshots, and nobody stepped forward. Confronted with this global emergency, what we're doing with our inaction and failing to walk through the door and stop the killing is not typical of what we are capable of as human beings.
That is the most shameful remarks I've ever heard from any Democrat, and it came from Al Gore. This is July 25, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com right now. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to previous rumbles, and you'll be able to punch a position, a button, and say you want to join us live and you're in studio. Glad to have you. If you miss any, they're always posted later. I know many of you see them later. And, of course, if you miss any program whatsoever, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up the audio and share it. I encourage you to share all of these with others. You can subscribe or send it to you for free. We believe what we're saying is that important. No charge. We want you to spread the word. So there is Al Gore and a grotesque, and there's so many words that come to mind that I probably should not use. I'll just stick with the word grotesque, linking climate change deniers, as he calls them, to what happened at Uvalde. When a gunman went in and opened fire and killed 17 students and two teachers. And yes, there's video of the police standing around outside, not sure what to do. Took too long to make a decision to go in. That is all correct. That part was wrong. But how grotesque to link the issues over warming of the planet, which are debatable issues, to horrific tragedy. There might be members of Uvalde District and parents who would agree with Al Gore on climate change. But do you think they would accept him comparing the deaths of their children to some kind of factual crisis that he claims exists? And I say claims because you're going to hear later from a former Obama energy climate expert say, it's all hype. It's all hype. And we'll show you how Al Gore is benefiting from it coming up a little bit later. There is also a big concern about DNA. For those of you who like to trace your roots, you send them off to some of these companies that say, send us a sample of your DNA and we'll send you information about your genealogy. Now, the companies will insist that we're either not owned by China and we don't give our information to anyone else, but China is collecting them. G. Gordon Chain will join us. He's an expert on China. He's been telling us for the last 2 years or more, China has the greatest collection of DNA, especially of Americans in the world. Why? Well, a Democrat on the House Intel Committee says China is doing this to create bioweapons to use against Americans. And it's not just the people. It's our farmland, our crops, our livestock. And they are also rapidly buying up land in the U.S. We'll bring you up to speed on that. We also are going to get into this story about this January 6th thing, this probe, this investigation is going on and on and on. It's like a movie serial. The first movie was great. The second one may be pretty good. The third one, a bomb. The fourth, fifth, no one cares. And they announce the other day, we're going to continue it into the fall. Why? Oh, that'll be close to the election. May that affect the election. What idiocy. And I'm going to tell you how Biden's numbers could be much, much higher than what they are right now. And in fact, they could in fact encourage him to run in 2024 and he'd have a likely chance of winning. What one thing could he do? We've got that and more coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with a Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, Larry, there is a genuine risk of China controlling the world's chip market, especially the most advanced chips, which are made in Taiwan. I just don't think this bill has enough guardrails, for instance, whether it's allowing companies that might benefit from these tax credits or grants to continue to do business in China. I don't think there's enough protections for the money that would be going to America's universities and colleges and the National Science Foundation to make sure that they're not subject of Chinese espionage.
That is Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas. And when he said Larry, he's not responding to me. He was on Larry Kudlow's program. And he's talking about this bill prepared by Senator Chuck Schumer. It's to boost domestic chip production. That's the way it's built. And, of course, we should have more chip production in this country. But the idea behind it is one thing. What they really want to do is something else, and the execution is still another blowing in the wind. Schumer is pushing forward to get this bill done. $52 billion to boost domestic semiconductor production. He's telling Sanders if he could head the floor as soon as this Tuesday, tomorrow, then he says, I think we will be able to get it through. Well, the Senate Republican whip, John Thune, a member of the GOP leadership, cast doubts on that, warning he's not sure Republicans would provide the 10 or so needed votes to break a filibuster. In fact, Senator Thune, said we're at a point where no one knows what final bill, what it might look like. what kind of votes, where they're going to come from, where the votes were last time. That was a different time. This is a different bill. Of course, every time it's rejected, they come back and retool it and try to slip it back under the door again. This would be a scaled-back version of the larger China competitive legislation, which has been hung up. But it all started with Chuck Schumer saying, this is what we need to do to protect U.S. chip manufacturers. They say they need it because, well, if we don't, we're going to have to rely on China even more so. And you know, one guy who's sitting on the side really anxious to see what happens with this? Nancy Pelosi's husband. Remember Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, put about $5 million into buying chips and chip options on some of the companies that might benefit by these subsidies, because if they benefit, then their price, stock price, will go up, and he'll make multi-millions over that investment. Of course, Nancy Pelosi says, I know nothing. He does his business, that's his business. She didn't say it, but I guess she's suggesting also that the pillow talk between the two of them, that's assuming they sleep in the same room, much less the same bed, would be, how was your day? How's the chip bill going to go through? How's the House ready to do it? You think there's any discussion like that? Is there any discussion at all that she said, Paul, hey, you need to know what Schumer's doing with the semiconductor chip industry? And he rushes out and buys some? I'm asking. I don't know, but these are legitimate questions. And riddle me this. If you think they're not legitimate, if word came out that something like this is underway with Trump in office and a relative of his, be it a son, a distant cousin, was suddenly buying up all of these stocks, expecting this bill to go through, do you not think there would be a major congressional and Department of Justice investigation? The answer, you know the answer. Not only yes, but hell yes. And the other issue about this subsidy program, it doesn't accomplish what they claim it will. Here's Senator Tim Scott, Republican, Florida.
Intel Corporation made $20 billion last year. Guess what? We're going to give them some money to build a plant. Then we're going to give them a tax deduction for building the plant. And then we're going to give them a tax credit for building the plant. And guess what? They can keep doing business in China.
Do you get that? It's a $20 billion company made last year. We're going to give them some more money to help them out. We're going to help them build a plant. We're going to give them tax subsidies where they build the plant. And there are no rules, no curbs, nothing that denies them from dealing with China going forward. So it's not really making us less reliant on China chip producers or China, is it? Senator Tom Cotton again, Republican of Arkansas, says there are a lot of issues where this chip bill fails.
Finally, also worry that it may not be addressing that one very specific, very critical threat, which is the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. They make the world's most advanced chips. They're on an island that China has targeted with thousands of missiles and probably intends to invade in the next few years if we don't do something to stop it. It's most vital that we focus on those chips and making sure that we get them out of Taiwan in part so there's resiliency in their production, preferably to America, but at least out of missile range from mainland China.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, get them out of missile range from mainland China. Because Taiwan is an important source as well. Nancy Pelosi is scheduled to visit Taiwan. She would not be the first member of Congress to do so. But I got to ask you about the timing again. These guys, they basically expose themselves in front of you as clearly as the CNN Jeffrey Toobin did on his viral video, on a Zoom video call, basically exposing themselves in front of you, because they know we can get away with it. No one's going to call us. They'll complain, they'll make noises, but no one's going to be held accountable. Look at Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and all the money that came into that when she was Secretary of State and on track to be the next president. And all the companies and countries that gave money. That thing has since been disbanded because she didn't make it. And their money went mostly undocumented. Have you decided at some point to run a DNA test about you and your family? You know, go get one of those DNA test kits from a particular company. Swab your cheek, your kids, whatever. Send them off. Then you get the results back showing supposedly the genealogy of your ancestry and so forth. But there's a growing, increasing problem and concern about that. A lot of that information is ending up in the hands of China. It's ending up in the hands of China because they are planning to use the information collected by your DNA of Americans in particular. And we've been warned about this by my guest that's going to be back on with us in a few minutes. They're doing it because they're in the process of developing bioweapons. Congressman Jason Crow of Colorado, former Army Ranger, he is a Democrat, but as a former Army Ranger, he certainly recognizes a threat to our country. And he was at the Aspen Security Conference, and he started talking about these DNA testing companies.
People will very rapidly spit into a cup and send it into 23andMe and get really interesting data about their background. And guess what? Their DNA is now owned by a private company and can be sold off. We have to have an open and public discussion about what does the protection of healthcare information, DNA information, and your data look like, because that data is actually going to be procured and collected by our adversaries.
Now, at least a couple of the DNA companies say, no, we don't, we are not owned by China. We don't give any of that information to them. Maybe they don't, but maybe their systems are hacked or it's passed to some other group that in turn does the same. In short, I'm advising you, it's your choice. My decision is I don't want to send them my DNA for any kind of testing. But that's just the DNA. They can also get into medical records. If the Chinese can hack into various government agencies, they can do it with hospitals. They can do it with hospital plans. They can get all the bio information on you that way as well. And then there's the other thing that maybe a lot of folks don't pay a lot of attention to because, well, you just haven't thought about it. And I understand, especially if you're not a farmer. A farmer's always worried about, what am I putting on my crops? Is it going to do them well? Is it going to work? Is it going to do better? You drive out in the farm fields. For those of you who live in those fields or drive through them, you'll see various signs of different herbicides being used and testing plots, things of this nature. China's also watching that. They're watching it, and they're also looking at plants from the U.S. as to what they could do with those plants for our food supply, and that would include our livestock, our horses and pigs. Not the horses, we don't eat horses in this country, but pigs and cattle, sheep, lamb. And Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, they worry about it.
What can our adversaries do with biological weapons that are directed at our animal agriculture, at our agricultural sector? Hoof and mouth disease, highly pathogenic avian influenza, African swine fever, if targeted by an adversary.
Targeted by an adversary. That would be China. Could be others as well. If they get that information, how can they then use it against you? Against the U.S. Sharply reducing our crops, our livestock, making us more reliant upon other countries. And then you also had the situation where they have been actively, and we have pointed out this previously, buying up, China's been buying up farmland. This most recent report from Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican of North Dakota, he's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said there's a real concern that China is more than capable and willing to steal intellectual property. And they're buying up a lot of farmland near Grand Forks Air Force Base. And they're, of course, buying up more and more land where we grow our food. And DeSantis of Florida says there's another concern.
I think the problem is these companies have ties to the CCP, and it's not always apparent on the face of whatever a company is doing. But I think it's a huge problem, the influence that they have. Now, what we have done in Florida, I've signed legislation to crack down on undue influence from rogue states, including the CCP. So, for example, we banned Confucius Institutes in the state of Florida. They try to go in higher education, and they try to spread the propaganda. So we've taken good steps. We're also probably going to do legislation next legislative session about our pension investments.
Yeah, there's another area where they could target you. And he was talking about companies that buy the land, and they're not specifically listed to China, but they really are. You're going to hear coming up a little bit later from Gordon Chang, expert on China.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Taiwan held a widespread air raid drills today. China doubling down on warnings in the U.S. against allowing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to visit the island. Now, she's defending her planned trip. That is, of course, a region China has long claimed as its sovereign territory. And the Chinese Foreign Ministry doubled down on warnings that the trip could have serious consequences for the U.S. The country in Taiwan, as I said, they are preparing for potential military action from China, holding air drills. They could be heard blaring today in Taipei, the nation's capital city, signaling residents to evacuate the streets for 30 minutes. Pelosi would not be the first member of Congress to go, but with the chip push that's underway to support supposedly U.S. chip makers and Taiwanese chip makers at the expense of China, in addition to the fact that they consider Taiwan their territory, China's doing some saber-rattling. But at what point does it stop as saber-rattling and become missile-launching or something of that nature? I want to share a piece written by Rahim Kassam. He is a British political activist. He also has served in many ways as a conservative inside Britain. He wrote a Substack piece that he oversees, "The Hawks Are Awfully Sheepish on China." Let me share some of this with you. He said, "The Peking ducks are in a row. The West was lured into focusing disproportionate capacity on Ukraine. Taiwan is more vulnerable than ever. Our economies are rubbish. Our militaries are more interested in drag queens. And there's almost no onshore manufacturing capability in the event of an international crisis." This isn't to say Beijing wouldn't have a rough ride in provoking an international crisis with invading Taiwan, but if you're a betting person, you might feel like hedging on this one. Could the U.S. alone repel an attack on its critical chip manufacturing partner? Would the so-called international community feel as strongly? Do our politicians have the will to arrest any such behavior, or are they too busy faking being arrested themselves? That's a direct reference, of course, to AOC the other day. And here's the question directly from Raheem Kassam. Where the hell are the hawks who squawk like headless chickens over the invasion of Crimea, but now act like heartless chickens over China? He said, for several years, my colleague and I have attempted to explain the reach of the Chinese Communist Party into the Western world, infiltrating, corrupting high schools, colleges, universities, high-ranking military personnel, leading politicians, and, of course, the international corporate media. He said after Vietnam, Iraq, Somalia, Kosovo, Iraq again, Afghanistan, Ukraine, when we finally actually need the neoconservative chicken hawks, are nowhere to be found. He said there is no great wall-to-wall coverage of how China is moving on one of its neighbors, a critical U.S. partner, Taiwan, perhaps because this time there might actually be U.S. national interest at stake here. And you can't possibly make government policy based on what would help your own people. That could be considered racist or something. He said, indeed, we're probably going to see some hand-wringing over China's entirely foreseeable surprise attack. And then like clockwork, Jake Tapper with CNN, he didn't say it that way, I did, will end up blaming Vladimir Putin or something to that extent. We have at this point, as he points out, a Rand Corporation study saying a war lasting 1 year would slash America's gross domestic product by 5 to 10%. But it would gut China's gross domestic product 21 to 35%. Because Americans apparently are going to let themselves not get that involved with China. And that Rand report is 6 years old. Coming up, Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. How do we continue to fight back? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, and as I was telling you in previous segments, he warned us about several of the things that now U.S. Intel is admitting. Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. You can follow him on Twitter, and I encourage you to do so. His Twitter account handle is at Gordon G. Chain, at Gordon G. Chain. If you don't get a chance, write it down. And go to my Twitter account at Larry Connors USA, and you'll find it there as well. Gordon, first of all, glad to have you on board.
Thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
I want to get into some of your thoughts as to the Intel Committee remarks, in fact, at Aspen the other day from Congressman Crow, who is Democrat, previous Army Ranger, about DNA going into China. We've had that, and you've talked about that for 2 years plus now. But before we do, Nancy Pelosi is still planning to go to Taiwan, and I have a note here right here in front of me that Biden, of course, is continuing and still does say it's not good that she go right now, and today Taiwan held widespread air drills. Why exactly should she go or not go, and what's the issue here?
The issue here is Chinese belligerence, and Beijing, which has been issuing demands to the U.S., especially over the last month, now believes that it has the right to dictate American policy, not only on Taiwan, but just about everything else. So because Beijing has made this an issue, she has to go. If she doesn't go, what Beijing will think is that it can determine outcomes in Washington, and it's going to become even more aggressive and provocative. So at some point, we've got to draw the line, unless, of course, we want to just give our country to China and submit. But short of that, we're going to have to do something.
All right. Now, Pelosi's office, at last check, she had originally planned a trip back in April. And then one of their members came down with COVID-19. So they reset it. And it, again, as I say, just last week, President Biden told reporters that U.S. Intel believes it's not a good idea for her to go. But he's stopping short of saying, don't go. Why is she insisting, just to show who she is? I mean, is this beneficial for the country or supposedly beneficial for Pelosi?
Well, she has never confirmed that she is going next month. What happened is the Financial Times, the London paper, reported that she's going, but her office has not confirmed or denied those reports. Now, it's clear she wants to go, and I believe she should go, and she's doing this for the country. She might be doing it for herself, but she's certainly doing this for the country. And Biden's comments last Wednesday, which you just referenced about how the military felt it was not advisable, Biden's comments were extremely ill-advised. The military doesn't make policy. Biden makes policy. If Biden doesn't want her to go, he should say so. He shouldn't sort of use the excuse of, oh, my generals and admirals tell me it's not a good idea. Those comments that Biden made only emboldened China to be even more aggressive and to raise the stakes in the issue.
Yeah, and I also say those are the kind of things that he has a one-on-one meeting with Nancy Pelosi, not reporting and putting into the media.
Exactly. You know, this is showing China and the rest of the world, for that matter, the disarray in the policymaking apparatus in Washington. I mean, you can have disagreements. I mean, every administration has disagreements, but they shouldn't be played out in public in this manner.
Just before you joined us, I was reading a piece from Rahim Kassam and his Substack. You know him as a British conservative, and he's talking about where are the hawks. The U.S. hawks are awfully sheepish on China right now. Maybe it's because this time we actually have a stake in U.S. national security and policy in Taiwan, and they're just being quiet when we spoke out against Crimea, Kosovo, Afghanistan, da-da-da-da-da. What's your reaction?
First of all, Rasim is a brilliant author and thinker. You know, in a certain sense, he's right. There's been a lack of resolve on the part of conservatives. You know, and part of it is conservatism doesn't tell you what you think on foreign policy. Conservatism is to the idea that sovereignty resides in the individual. And people who believe that, and I believe that, can have dovish policies and hawkish policies.
But don't we have still nationalist policies, that we are nationalists, our country first?
Well, I think we should, but if you're a conservative, you could very well decide that it shouldn't be America first. And in fact, many conservatives in Washington are not American firsters.
Point made, yeah.
And throughout the history of conservatism, you have seen some of the most dovish thoughts from conservatives, as well as some of the most hawkish. But conservatism is a wide tent in that regard.
All right, let's get to the issue with the DNA testing. As you have warned us for 2 years or better, Congressman from
Jason Crow.
Jason Crow, thank you for helping me out. Former Army Ranger, he said, people spit in one of these cups, they send it off just wanting to know something about their family history. They don't know that it might go directly to the Chinese, and why would the Chinese want their DNA?
The Chinese are actually designing biological weapons that are targeted at specific ethnic groups. They're called, quote, specific ethnic genetic attacks. Chinese military researchers have been talking about them in public for at least a half decade now. And these are pathogens that will leave the Chinese immune, but kill everybody else. The coronavirus was turned into a weapon by China, but it was a weapon that was not only affected foreigners, but also affected Chinese, as we know from a lot of anecdotal evidence. What they're looking for is the holy grail of biological weapons, something that will kill your opponents but leave your friends a fine. And if you, in order to develop those type of weapons, you need DNA profiles, which is the reason why China is hoovering up DNA profiles of foreigners, but it is not permitting the transfer of Chinese DNA profiles out of China. This is ominous.
Yeah, no surprise there. And you're right, it is ominous. Now, some of the companies involved that do the DNA testing say, we have nothing to do with China. And they may actually think they have nothing to do with it, but how often do you think China probably gets access to that same material, even if they're not actually owned and run by China?
What those ancestry companies are talking about, and don't talk about, I should say, is that companies and labs that are affiliated or owned by China have been certified to do DNA profiles and testing of Americans. And, of course, what we should do is prevent that. So if you do, as Jason Crow said, spit in the cup, you might as well just send your DNA to Beijing.
Well, the other thing is, in addition, at that same security, Aspen Security Conference, Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, pointed out that the bio-ag weapons, that they are looking at our crops and what we put on them and what could be added to that and basically destroy our food supply and even our livestock in this country.
Yes, and no party from China should be allowed to own American farmland or ranching land.
That's where I was going.
Reason,
go ahead.
The reason is that China's national intelligence law, Articles 7 and 14, require every Chinese national to spy. In the Communist Party's top-down system, no Chinese national, no Chinese company can resist an order from the Communist Party. So until we figure this out, we should have a prohibition on the acquisition of farm and ranch land, and we should force the divestiture of farm and ranch land already held by Chinese parties.
And they're also looking at commercial and residential real estate as well. And DeSantis in Florida said, we're going to start trying to crack down on that and watch how pension funds are being handled. And since you mentioned, of course, the farmland, particularly around military facilities, Senator Kramer, Republican of North Dakota, said, I'm very concerned as they're buying up a lot of farmland near Grand Forks Air Force Base and making it easier to intercept data and information coming and going from that facility.
Yes. Fufeng, which is a Chinese food processing company, bought 300 acres within 12 miles of the Grand Forks Air Force Base. And that base has sensitive satellite and other uplink facilities. And the passive listening devices in on that land could actually capture a lot of very critical signals intelligence for China. Fufeng wants to build a $700 million corn processing plant. It should not be permitted to do that, and I believe it should be forced to divest the land.
Outstanding. Gordon Chain, as always, glad to have you on board, and your expertise my audience truly appreciates.
Well, thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll do it again. Again, his Twitter handle is at Gordon G. Chain. Get in for more information from him. Amazing knowledge of China and what's being done to us if we allow it, and we should not do so. Coming up, there's a monkeypox emergency according to the World Health Organization, but wait till you hear what's behind the curtain.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the White House is continuing to update us on President Joe Biden's health after he tested positive for coronavirus last week. The president's physician issuing a note late yesterday saying Biden is improving, still with a sore throat. And he said, so the body is clearing the virus and it's therefore encouraging, has symptoms of runny nose, cough, body aches, continues to have a hoarse voice, and apparently from time to time uses an inhaler to treat his cough. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I don't want our president sick, and I want him to improve and get better. But he did break protocol the other day, as we were informed by the CDC, that if you are in the stages I just described and diagnosed with COVID, clearly COVID, not the flu or something else, you're not supposed to be around people that, if you're not wearing a mask. And yet Friday there was a picture with him with some others. He's not wearing a mask. This all gets back to the fact that it's not what they do, it's what they tell you to do that is important to them. Which brings us to the monkeypox outbreak. There's going to be a hard time shaming a lot of people on this thing, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But let me get down to what the World Health Organization did, as if we really trust the World Health Organization now, which, of course, in the beginning accepted China's word or was helping them promote the fact that there's no concern about COVID, no need to be alarmed, no worry here, and continued to stay with that until finally it became too obvious to ignore. And the World Health Organization also decided the other day it's going to rewrite its manuals to identify gender. Are you a science organization or not? Well, here's a perfect example that they're not. The first general director, Tedros, is not a medical doctor. I should say the first. He is the first one who is not a medical doctor. He got into that position after being accused of helping cover up multiple outbreaks of cholera in his native Ethiopia. So he's had numerous issues since he came on board. Of course, COVID, outbreak of Ebola in Africa under his watch, and now the monkeypox that he overreacted. Even his medical experts say, we don't think this needs to be declared a international emergency. But Tedros, I should say, is not mandated to obey them. So even though the majority of the members on his staff decided it's not really a major concern in the beginning, well, they had a decision to, as Reuters describes it, Tedros overriding the panel to declare a global emergency, a tiebreaker. It wasn't a tie to begin with. It's 9 versus 6. My math may not be that great, but 9 is not tied with 6. But Tedros said it's a tiebreaker, so I have to act as breaking the tie. And so simply on his word, there was a tiebreaker, and I'll be the tiebreaker. He's now declaring that the World Health Organization is classifying monkeypox as a major national, international concern. And, of course, in New York City and in California, especially in San Francisco, there's growing concern that they don't have enough vaccine available. But here's where I say they're not going to get into not able to pull off the full public shaming they were doing previously if you didn't get vaccinated. Because according to the World Health Organization top monkeypox expert, I don't see how he voted here, but on that making it an international emergency, I would tend to think that it's a she, that she did not vote to make it such an emergency. But she is the top monkeypox expert, and she says 99% of those diagnosed with monkeypox outside Africa were men. And 98% of them were men who have sex with men. Now, this is not meant in any way to be a slam on your sex life or anything else, but it's the same thing we went through with AIDS. It was predominant inside the homosexual community. But Tedros has suddenly decided, we got 9 panel members that say it's non-emergency, 6 that say it is. I'll break the tie, though there is no tie, and declare we have an international emergency. Can't wait to see what they're going to do about the vaccines. Now they're going to try to order everyone, you have to have it. Coming up in the next hour, you don't want to miss as we begin to break down how Al Gore decides to link the tragedy of Uvalde to climate deniers.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.